in the message, I picked the message because it really just hits home. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Sometimes, you know, without scripture and verse, putting it in our own layman's terms, it just hits home, right? If you're serious about living this new Christian life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and by feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. I think I'll say that again. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. For good. Get rid of that bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. I think if we're going to be an example to our children, and we're going to take on the Lord's call for each and every one of us to be a mentor, regardless of our age, and that assignment, we're going to need to read that scripture and, more importantly, act like it. And that way we can be a light that the children want to be like. Listen to this video and the responsibility that we have.
I really haven't had anybody to, like, express myself because my...
You've been resurrected. Act like it. Bring life. Your resurrection life and your resurrection life to children. Ted, come on up here for a sec. Ted's got a word for the body, and then we're going to give you a little background as to why we need to do this with our children.
Electricity going on, brother. That's twice in a row there. I know God's excited about today, and I'm just going to share with you real quick how I know that. About 4:30 this morning, 4:45, I woke up wide awake. And the Lord was all over me, and I had this passion to go study the scriptures. And I hate to say, I went back to sleep and got up at 6 so I could get ready for prayer. But when I came to prayer and I prayed, I just got filled up. I got filled up on the way here. I got filled up in prayer, so much so that I could physically have a hard time standing up or walking or driving. And on the way home, Spirit of the Lord just kept whispering in my ear, extraordinary insight into the Word of God. And I'm like, okay, that's nice. And he'd say it again. And I'm like, okay. And he'd say it again and again and again and again and again. I said, well, why do you keep saying it to me over and over? You've been working with me on that. I've been praying for that. You're taking me into that. I'm excited about it. Why do you keep saying this in my mind, in my heart? I'm replying back to him, why do you keep saying this over and over? He said, I want to give that gift to my whole body, not just you. Okay? And so many of you here are old people like me. I've been a Christian for 35 years, and I have spent periods of my life where I have been supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit to study the scriptures. And it's not the Bible anymore, it's a love letter from Jesus. And I can't get enough of it. When I get into it, the revelation is amazing. I cry, I weep. I have this extraordinary relationship with God in and through the Word, as well as praise and worship and different things. But the Word kind of is the main fellowship tool that God uses for me in those periods of time. And I want that back. And I've been asking the Lord for a long time. And I want that back. I don't want to be a good boy and study the scriptures. I want that supernatural impartation, that extraordinary ability to discern the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want that, but I want the breath of God on that. And I've been asking for that. And he just really said, well, that's great. We're doing that. You asked for that. That's going on. We're getting there. But I want that for my body.
And remember to put yourself in front of it. You know, I've been studying it for a while, too, and what's helped me is to change translations. I'm reading the Message now, and, you know, and I thought, well, it's the Message. It's not scripture and verse. It's not as accurate. Well, it's a message, and I get messages from it. It's not crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but I go to the Greek or the Hebrew when I want to do that. But reading various translations will help you just get a different perspective, and sometimes that will stimulate you to get back into the Word. But Ted's right. There's no replacement. No matter how many other books you read, this is the best read you will ever read and give the most wisdom. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God, and that this morning as we open it and we talk about our children, I pray that in each and every one of our hearts, we will have a mentoring spirit. There's always someone out there that would be willing to receive our love and the Scriptures. And I pray that you will direct those to each of these here today, whether it's their own family or their adopted family. Bring them, Lord. Bring them. Increase our sphere of influence in Jesus' name. Amen. Will our children make a difference in the world for Christ? Depends. They can't give what they don't have. Jesus saw greatness in children. It's not just a topic I decided to pick. Jesus saw greatness in children. Let's look at Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child of all people. Of all people, he called a child to himself, and he set him before them as an example. And he said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and you become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself just as this child," completely dependent upon us, right? "He is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives," wow, this is an indictment. "Whoever receives one such child in my name," that means we get up and we go out and we do what we just saw, "receives me. But whoever causes," and here's where our behavior comes in, folks, "whoever causes one of these," well, I would never cause one of those little ones to stumble. Well, you know what? If their eyes are on you, you are. Think about it. Unless you're doing everything you do sinfully in secret, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. That's not me. I'm not intentionally doing that. Intentionally. It goes back to the first scripture that I read, right? Get rid of anger. Get rid of drunkenness. Get rid of sexual promiscuity. Because little eyes and big eyes are on you. And whether you realize it or not, you are either leading or not leading. And Jesus said, "I'd rather you be cold than somewhere in the middle showing people the Bible and telling them, hey, we need to get into church and let's praise and worship and let's read together, let's study, let's do all this stuff together. But then you leave and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you're showing them a whole different picture from a whole different book." There is a responsibility on us. And yes, I'm making it a big responsibility for us because Jesus thought, wow, just become like one of these little ones. It's important. So we're not only to receive our children into our meetings. Listen. We're not only to receive our children into our meetings, our services, and our ministries, but we are to take great care in how we teach and prepare them for life and service. Hey, we managed to get our kids in today. Woo, praise God. Last minute, whoa, stuff like that. Hey, they're here. Whew. Shove them into class. Shove them in front of a TV. Shove them in front of the electronics. Shove them in front of a teacher. Shove them, just as long as I've got my time. Come on now. We'll put them anywhere if it means that we can free up our time out of our busy lives so that we don't really have to deal with it. Only when we desire or want to. There are a lot of good things, but there are a lot of excellent things. And sometimes it's not shoving them in front of a teacher in another place when you can sit them on your lap and be the best teacher they've ever had. Not to say that the other's bad, because we want to share and we want to give different perspective. But let me tell you something. The primary responsibility for teaching your children does not lie with our children's church teachers. The primary responsibility for teaching our children is your life. And it's not what you say, it's what you do. Jesus warns us strongly not to do anything that would cause our children to stumble. I believe this refers to our natural children as well as our spiritual children, those who are young in the Lord. Simply those who are young in the Lord that maybe not have read the Bible as much as you have and don't have as much wisdom or insight as you do. Stumble? He says, make them stumble in what? Well, another way of stating causing to stumble is tempting them to sin. Or leading them into sin. Folks, we are not to set any examples. We are not to set any examples when it comes to sin. Amen? Matthew 5:29. And if your right eye makes you stumble, there's that word again. What's he telling us? Hey, if we're having a tendency to go in this direction, go in the opposite. Tear it out. It's a metaphor. You don't tear your eye out because you did something wrong. You walk in the opposite direction. That's called repentance. Remove it. Throw it from you. Get away from it. Flee. For it's better for you that one of the parts of your body perish. In other words, you lose your privileges. You lose your lustly desires. You lose these kinds of things that really are only adding up in the negative column for you. Than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. What is he saying? It's really insignificant, the little pleasure that you're going to get out of the little sin you're about to commit. Because there's an eternal picture here. So whatever gratification that you can get out of what you do that is not obedient to the word of God, whatever that pleasure is, no matter how high you can get, whether it's drugs, sex, alcohol, plaudits, popularity, preaching, teaching, whatever it is that really gives you that high, nothing compares to the eternal picture of the responsibility that you have before Almighty God in your own life of what he's equipped you with. And if you don't develop those spiritual gifts and you don't exercise them and you sit on them, he's disappointed. He doesn't take pleasure in that. He's placed himself in you. He lives in you. He wants you to get out of the way and let him drive. Your only responsibility in this life is to rest. What do I mean by rest? Yield. Just yield. The decisions of your will have to be based upon Almighty God. And when you make those decisions of your will, he will get the job done. He will empower you. He will give you what you need to say. He will give you what you need to do. He will heal your body when it's needed to be healed. He will do whatever is necessary, because he doesn't make any mistakes, and he's never sick. Oh, he's persecuted, suffers, all of those things Jesus went through, but he wasn't sick, and he was never naive. Think about it. 1 Peter 2:8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Why do we stumble? Disobedient to that word that we just heard about from Ted. And to this doom they were also appointed. Stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks. Matthew 18:7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. Uh-oh. Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, get the picture here. Peter was like his child. He was the number one guy on his team. He's family. He was first one adopted. One of the first ones, right? And here he is, this wonderful Peter, who's learning from his master and teacher. And Jesus looks at him and says, whoa, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. What does that mean? That means that when you're screwing up and you're sinning and you're making wrong choices, you're not going to hell because you have a heart for Jesus. You're not, that's not your intent. It's not your willful purpose. Holy Spirit's living in you. You don't have a desire to go out on purpose and just sin against God. But because our interests are divided and our mind's not set on things above and we don't discipline ourselves and make choices of our will and pattern and surround ourselves with godly things, we stumble into this stuff. And when we stumble and we make our children stumble and we stumble, that's not pleasing to God. It would be better if we were thrown into the sea. That's how bad it offends God. But he doesn't tell you you're losing your salvation. Peter didn't lose his salvation. He even denied Jesus. Think about it. Three times he denied him. But what did Jesus say to Peter? You will be strengthened. Don't cave into it. Don't walk away. Judas walked away. Peter did the opposite. He went to God. Judas walked away from God. The two had two different results. When you're sinning, when you're screwing up, when you're making mistakes, join the family. Walk towards Jesus. Keep your eyes set above. He will help you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He will purify you. He's the one who does it, not you. Not your willpower. Your willpower comes in just simply submitting and yielding. That's where your power comes in. You don't have to will it so I'm going to beat that addiction. I'm going to beat that thing. You can't. But he can. You beat your will into submission to yield. Yieldedness is what it's all about. We said last week that what? The fire of God comes through yielding. Holy Spirit comes just because you ask. He'll come to live in there, but his ability to work in and through you comes from your yieldedness. So he can live in there all your life and you go to heaven and never get anything done because you're not willing to yield. What do you talk about with your kids? What do you talk about with your kids? What's your mindset on? We just talked about that. Where's your mind? What are you talking about? Are you so consumed with work and television and electronics and all of the things that we do in life and stuff like that, that the 99% of the conversation that we have with our children is about stuff? And it doesn't have to be bad things. It can be good things. There's a lot of good things. There's good things in electronics. There's good things on TV. There's good things in your computer. But it eats up your time and it eats up your energy and it consumes you and you put your focus on something different. How much time is actually spent talking to your children about spiritual things? Even opening up a Bible comparatively to everything else that you do. Folks, God takes sin seriously and it's not simply all about you. It's about the example you set for the children. Well, I'll deal with it. It's my life. No one can tell me how to live it. If I sin, I sin. What big deal is that to you? It is a big deal to me because I'm around you and I get influenced by you and so are my children and so are the people that are in your class or by your side at the job. You're affected more than you. Quit being so doggone selfish. Live the life of Christ. If not for yourself, live it for somebody else. It's not all about you. We should be inviting our children or students into our ridiculously busy lives and begin mentoring them profusely, not ignoring them or thinking that they're in the way. It's you who may be in the way if you're not pouring God's word and life into them, because they will be ill-equipped to fight without proper training. I am telling you, there's a spiritual war going on out there that you are clueless in sometimes, and me. And if we don't properly equip them to fight and to train now, when they enter into that struggle, which they will, and they accept Christ, and we don't properly mentor them, and we just leave them dangling out there, quote, saved, waiting for the bus, you're putting them in front of the bus. It's kind of like fireproof when we saw the guy save that lady from the wreck. He said, boy, you almost lost your wreck there. Are you afraid to die? He said, no, I ain't afraid to die, but I don't want to go to get hit by a train to die. Right? That's not how I want to go. By being hit by a train. You don't want to go having neglected your duties as spiritual leaders to mentor your children. Well, they're not mine. Yeah, they are if they're your brothers and sisters, if you're a Christian. And you know what? Who says you can't mentor somebody who's not a brother or sister? If they're unsaved, why can't you go out there and start speaking life into them? No, you may not open up the Bible the first day, but maybe you'll go to Burger King. Give them something hot to drink and maybe something warm to wear. That's mentoring, developing a trust, a relationship, so that you can speak God's life and word into them. We need to equip them to fight. Step up to the plate or get out of the way, folks. Step up. That's what they say in baseball. Or that's what they say in certain things where there's, you know, okay, now is the day of salvation. Today, faith is now. Come on. And we got, okay, well, I'm undecided. I don't know. I should pray about that. I don't know if I need to be mentoring anybody. Well, God, what are my gifts? What should I be doing and stuff like that? Get out of the way. Well, I'm not knocking it. Go sit in a room back there and ponder. But somebody needs to go and clean that bathroom. Oh, it's not my ministry. Well, it needs to get done. Right? I'm just, well, I got to pray about it. That person's hungry. I got to pray about whether I need to give or not. That person's thirsty. I need to pray about that. Nothing wrong with prayer, but there's sometimes you just got to do. Step up to the plate. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. There's a lot of children out there that desperately need our guidance, and if we don't do it, who's going to leave it up to? Our school system? Oh, that's a whole other message. But now we have school on the internet. Every time they sit in front of that internet, there's school. And if you're not monitoring that, Satan loves to pop up. Pop up. And I'll tell you right now, our children are not strong enough to resist the pop up. Or adults. Because some of us adults are children. And we yield to the wrong things. You have to put a line of defense in. You cannot go to war without teaching defense. No Super Bowl has ever been won on offense alone. Strong defenses with strong offenses win Super Bowls in the natural. The fight that we're fighting, we fight by faith, and faith without works is dead. And without you mentoring our children and building up their most holy faith through teaching them the Word of God and praise and worship and going to Burger King and giving them something to drink and having fun and holding their hand and letting them know they're loved and building them up and encouraging them as prophets and rooting out sin in their lives and, yes, being hard and providing discipline as priests of your home and the being the correct leaders and having fun while you're leading and don't mash them down, those are the kinds of men and women that God is looking for to be representatives of the Most High. To put God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. To bring forth the kingdom of God. Because ultimately that's what Jesus came for, is to demonstrate the kingdom on the whole entire planet. It just got out of the way when Adam and Eve sinned and it began to get moved out of his governing authority as we disobeyed and rebelled. Well, he's bringing it back into order. He needs to start with each one of us. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. We're going to do that today. And the disciples rebuked them. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And after laying his hands on them, he departed there. We fail to see the importance of our children. This laying out of hands was not a spanking. Come on. I'm not sitting there saying that we're not to spank our children, but this kind of laying on of hands was not. There's times to live, a time to die, a time to this, a time to that, a time to spank, you know, time to repent, a time to rejoice, you know. Let's be real. God is a God of grace and he's a God of justice. God is all-consuming. I believe it was for impartation and blessing that Jesus laid his hands on them. Speak life into your children. Lay hands on them to impart spiritual giftings. This is all possible. Mentor them and provide opportunity to function. Pass on your love. Pass on your wisdom. Pass on your knowledge. In spiritual things. Children are precious to Jesus. Mark 9. And taking a child, he set him before them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. A child, take it into your arms. How many children are you holding? The word receive is the Greek word dexomai. It means to receive into the family, to bring up and educate. He wasn't talking about you. Oh, receive this little child. Oh, give me a hug. Okay, see ya. That's as much as you have in your child's life. Give me a hug. Give daddy a kiss. Okay, now go sit over there. I got to talk to mama. All right, I'm busy right now. I got some things I got to do over here. I'm studying. Sorry, guys. I've done a lot of that in your life. Got to prepare for a message for Sunday. And then these guys walk away without my impartation. That's wrong. Jesus ministered most in the interruptions of life. A lot of what we read about Jesus was in the interruptions in his life. And the disciples said, no, don't let be distracted. We got to go minister over here. And the ministry was right in front of them. God orders your steps or he doesn't. You got to trust him with what he brings to you. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to be the one that gives to this person. If he brought him to you, you are. Pass on your love and your wisdom and your knowledge. Receiving a child isn't just to hug them. It means here in the Greek to bring up and to educate. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known. Make them known. Don't forget them. Don't put them aside. Don't put them in front of and back of your work and in back of your other agendas and all the things that you do. Make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train him. You're trainers. Next scripture, Psalm 78, 1-8. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and have known, and our fathers have told us about it. Praise God, our fathers passed it on. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he's done. Dance with them up here for crying out loud. Pray with them at the altar. Grab them by the hand. Lead them in song. Lead them in worship. Show them a scripture. Let them read it instead of you if they can read. Begin to disciple them. Pray. Let them pray. This is a gym. We don't have to be that orderly. Come on up. I want my child to read the scripture, Pastor. Great. Let's hear it. Come on, we got to break out of this religious lifestyle and begin to use this place as a mentoring tool. This is where we train you up in the way you should go. And then you're to train your children the way you should go. So let's just do it all while we have a chance in the couple of hours that we have. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, 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 that they should teach them to their children. That the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. Don't wait, is what he's saying. Don't even wait till they're born. Set up a pattern in your life of discipleship. Know the word of God so that when they come out of the gate and they get out of that womb, right away you're praying over them every night. Right away you're anointing them with oil. Right away you're bringing them into church and letting them listen to the music. Don't wait. Satan's getting a hold of them right away. Thoughts begin to come in. You don't have to be 80 years old or 2 years old when thoughts begin to come in. We live amidst an evil world. You got to start right out of the gate of speaking life. Even before and while they're in your womb, begin to read over your womb and sing over your womb and do the things. Because let me tell you something. The first 9 months, they're alive and well. They're alive. That seed gets planted in the ground and begins to sprout. They're alive. And you can speak to them and you can lullaby them and you can teach them scripture and you can listen. What you do during your gestation period is just as important as when they get here. They should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Old Testament, New Testament, they're all God. If you love me, you'll obey me. It's his character. It's his nation. There's not a separation in the commandments of God between old and new. It's just that we're motivated differently in the new. It's a heart motivation. It's not a rule. It's what we do because it's who we are. It's where we live. It's our daddy. It's our loving relationship. It's part of our DNA. Holy Spirit lives there. We're yielded. This is it. But same character, same God, same hatred for sin, same laws. The spirit of that law, right? The spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, not the days and months and years and doing that stuff. It becomes a lifestyle now. It's part of us. It's our entire being. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare. A generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Is your spirit faithful to God? If it is, you got to start training. Get in the gym. One day a week in the gym ain't gonna cut it. I've tried it. That's right. 3 or 4 days a week, better. When you train every day like an Olympian, the fruit that you bear is far greater. There's more things you can do. You can stretch further. You can have stronger muscle. You can accomplish more. You can achieve more. Same thing in the natural goes to the supernatural. I'm going to ask you to get the children at this point in time and bring them in as I finish and close this message. Because we're going to pray over our children and our children's teachers and our children's workers and all those that are in charge of your children when they come here. And we're going to anoint them with oil and we're going to speak life into them. Because we can. We are commanded to be found faithful in passing on our Christian heritage. For crying out loud, give our children a fighting chance. We just can't take our children and throw them into school. We just can't take our children and throw them out onto the streets and even with their neighbors anymore. Because God only knows what they're seeing and experiencing in these homes today. But they're my favorite neighbor. Do you know what's going on in your neighbor's house? Do you know what they believe? Do you know what they're putting in front of your child's eyes and ears? You don't become recluses and stick them away in a hole and say we can't trust anyone. Just use wisdom and discernment and get to know those who are among you, who are preaching or teaching among you, your neighbors. For crying out loud, you need to scout out your neighbors and know who they are before your children do. Hey, children, we got neighbors up this road, Daddy and Mommy. And you've never been there? It's an indictment. We need to give our children a fighting chance, lead them into spiritual battle, girded in truth, not into sin. Our children are bombarded by worldly thinking right out of the womb, as I said. We must counter this assault with mega amounts of God's love and God's word. God's love first, because God is love. And God is the word. It's all about him. So here's the exhortation. Grab your swords, people. You want to fight? You want to put the fight in your children? Grab your sword. Give up some of your personal pleasures. What is that called? Sacrifice. You want to know what sacrifice means? You're thinking about the other person more than you are yourself. You're willing to give up something that means something to you in order to do something for someone else. It means Jesus gave up his life so that you could live forever. He was willing to go through torture. He was willing to be totally shaken and just totally stripped of everything that he had. Take on the sin of the world. And to the point where he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He knew what man would feel and experienced everything we could experience. And yet he was willing to do it so that you could experience eternal life. And you can't take the time to pick up your sword and just instill a little wisdom into your children and those that you've not yet even brought into your family that you will? Give up some of your personal pleasures and invest in God's children. Jesus did. And he tells us to do the same. Well, that's good enough for me. I don't know about you, but it's good enough for me. The hope of the next generation of believers depends upon a solid foundation we lay today. If we want to see America change, if we want to see the world change, if we want to just see our family change. Well, that runs in my family, Pastor. Well, what are we saying for your health? Run it out. It's a spiritual decision. It runs in my family. Run it out. Change your stars. That was a movie, wasn't it? But it's not about changing your stars. It's about changing your mind and going in the opposite direction and repenting and then having the blessing of God, obedience, releasing his blessing upon you and your family. It has to start with dad. Guys, it starts with you. There's no default here. Can't push a button and say, okay, it's on my wife. Whether you've been divorced, whether you're single, if you're a man, then man up. Thank you, Joe and Bert Midget. Thank you for orchestrating and providing a place for our children to be nourished in the Word of God and with love. Thank you, preschool and children's church teachers, if you are one, because you're doing more than an exercise of your spiritual gift. You're doing more than just opening up a Bible and reading. You're investing your life into the lives of those little ones who are hanging on every word you have to say. And if you're in here today and all you can do to prepare is a last minute shake of the Bible and say, okay, that was an easy lesson, it won't take me long to prepare, you're going in with the wrong attitude. You have an opportunity and you have a privilege to sow into the lives, even if it's just one, of a little child and shape their life forevermore. And when you invest in that and you take each day and you take a part each day and see if something might be added or taken away or put into or just held or whatever and stuff like that, now you're pouring yourself into God's children and taking on the responsibility seriously. It's not just simply a gift I have that I'm just going to go exercise. It's like going into the gym and just sitting there and saying, okay, well, I just, you know, okay. No, you look in the mirror, you watch the muscle work, you start looking for opportunities and ways to stimulate that muscle in different ways so that you can provide growth in various, right? Come on. If you're willing to do that for a little old muscle in your body, how about a adopted child? Thank you, moms and dads, who realize the precious cargo that's been given to you by the Lord and you chose to receive them with open arms. Come on up here, if you're here. Let's just come on up front, guys. You know what? Let's just sit. Bert, you sit in the middle. And children, just come on up here and sit around Uncle Bertie. Just sit around Uncle Bert. Because Bert, I'm going to ask to lead in this prayer. And Dan, you're going to come up with me, and we're going to anoint every one of them. Can you get, somebody get me some anointing off? It's back in the somewhere. Yeah, there is. Right in front of me. You got some? Okay. Yes, teachers, you stay up here with them. Yes, children's church teachers, where are you? Yeah, absolutely. If you're a children's church teacher, we want you up front. Yeah, let's. Mm-hmm. Youth group. All you guys who participate in teaching our children, I want up front. Dan, I want you to just go around right now, if you will, with that oil, and I want you to just start anointing them as I pray. Actually, as Bert prays. I just want to say this as Dan is doing this to you. Those of you that are standing up here and you're before us is because we just got done hearing about how important and precious cargo we have in our children. Their lives will be shaped or unshaped by what you do and what you say. Actually, more of what you do than what you say will shape these children's lives. They're heading into a world that's full of all kinds of obstacles and distractions that are in their life. And as these distractions become more apparent or they go to homes that are dysfunctional or whatever it is, they are going to lose out on the wisdom and the understanding and the love that they need in order to function in the life to come. So we're just asking all of you to continue your hard work, because what you do matters. What you think you're lost over there because we're over here and we're just dumping our children to you. No, we're trusting our children with you. We're trusting them with their education and with their love and everything that you have. And I'm asking you to pour yourselves out. You're already sacrificing. You're taking what you have and you're pouring into them. But they can't receive what you guys don't have. So I'm asking, as Dan does this, that you personally will take the responsibility of continuing to grow, not just in God, but in your own lives with wisdom and understanding, so that you do have something to impart to our children. Because this is the next generation. This is what's going to change, if anything, our nation and our environments and the places in which we live. So we just want to love on you. We want to pray for you. We want to anoint you. The Bible says anoint people with oil. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit that will give you the wisdom that you need to get it done. So we're going to do that, and Bert is going to pray now as we do that, and I'll start from the left to the right, and just again receive as we lay hands on you.
Father, Joanne and I are going to pray today for each one of these children and children's workers. And as we do, Lord God, I thank you that there's an impartation of your Spirit, of your love and your peace. Father, as Greg said earlier, was by inspired by the Holy Spirit, use us. Use each one of us in this place, and use each one of these teachers to minister to each one of these children, as well as their parents, first of all, Father God. And we thank you for that, Father.
in your heart before they were even in their mother's womb, Lord, you had gifts and talents that you blessed them with. And I thank you, God, that they stir them up. And the spiritual gifts, God, especially those spiritual gifts, that they'll go out and do mighty exploits, and they will lead many into the kingdom of God, Father, because they make themselves available to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God.
Charge that we all have. I pray that as you listen to this, your heart is moved to join the mentor.